Alrighty, this is Noise, or I'm sorry, Best Boys.
Oh, it's different.
Yeah, this is Best Boys, which is a way better name than Two Buck Movies. Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, exactly. And let me tell you, I'm going to be one good boy in this episode.
Oh, you're good boy, Bubby.
Oh.
Let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is Best Boys. Anyway, so, last week was the pilot episode. We watched Brazil.
Yeah.
And this week, the movie that Joe has handed me is from the director of Fatal Attraction, which
yes.
I have never heard of.
Yeah, it's hot.
The cover looks like me if I was shaking my head really, 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 really fast and
well,
like
and
everything
you
was
got,
blurry.
You got shave.
Yeah, like if I shaved and didn't cut myself and I was showing, woo, 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 woo. I was shaking myself like Joe.
Yeah.
And the movie is an Adrian Lyne film, Jacob's Ladder.
Mm.
The most frightening thing about Jacob Singer's nightmare, that he isn't dreaming.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is by Artisan Entertainment, which I've never heard of.
Yeah, it's one spooky film.
Let's see here. It's got 5 stars by Avery Raskin, the rascally Raskin over there.
Yeah, I know Ebert gave it 3.5 out of 4, which is good for Ebert. He doesn't like horror films.
Why do they do 4? Is it to avoid, like, the middle ground?
Yeah.
Okay. Director Adrian Lyne, and then there's Fatal Attraction again. I'm guessing that was a pretty good movie. I have no idea.
It was hot at the time.
Hot.
Yeah, spicy. Look at those box office numbers sizzle.
Anyway, director Adrian Lyne takes you on an intense, horrifying journey with a shocking ending that will haunt you forever. Tim Robbins is Jacob Singer, a man who lives in a nightmare. Wounded in Vietnam, he's now back at home in New York City. Torn between the memories of his son and terrifying wartime demons, Jacob is slowly losing his grip on reality. His beautiful girlfriend, played by the beautiful Elizabeth Pina, only adds confusion to his life, drawing him into a web of sexual intrigue. But ultimately, it's his friend Louis, Danny Aiello, of Do the Right Thing, who turns out to be the only one Jacob could truly count on.
Yeah, it's like a love triangle thing going on.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
And I see here, came out in about 1990?
Yes.
That's when the movie came out?
Yep.
Alrighty. And, I'm really interested by this cover. It really does look like me if I was shaking my head really, 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 really fast. And you took a black and white picture of it and, like, colorized my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, you got set the f-stop to, like, 5.
Let me see if there's anything in here.
Ooh, nope.
Nope,
you get
okay.
Nothing. It's a family video extra rental. That's why the sun, that's why the cover looks sun-faded, because they don't take care of their windows.
Yep. Alright, well, we'll go ahead and watch this movie, and then we will be back.
Oh, I would like to say, this film is the direct inspiration for Silent Hill. So if you like those games, check out this movie.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Alright, let's go ahead and pop this bad boy in the PS4. Alrighty. So, that was the movie.
Yeah. Jacob's Ladder.
Jacob's Ladder. I actually remember seeing the DVD for this movie at the local library, and I never picked it up because I thought it was some kind of lame romance movie or some shit like that.
Yeah, like, Jacob, he's missing a ladder, but he's gotta find the hot romance to climb back up to the top of the business world.
Basically, I thought it was Brazil, The Love Conquers All edit.
Yeah.
But it was, in fact, not. So this is the first movie for, like, a really, really long while that I wouldn't use the word scared, but definitely, like, whoa. Because even when I have a nightmare, in my dreams, I'm like, hey, that's scary. And this movie, I was like, whoa, hey, this is actually genuinely pretty fucking creepy.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's some definitely, like, unnerving stuff in this one, and, like, basically, they have, like, a less-is-more attitude towards it, which really enhances everything that's shown.
Because the creep, like, the most explicitly spooky, ooky, kooky monster moment is shown pretty early on in the movie.
Yeah.
When he opens up, so, you know, he opens up, they're in Vietnam, you know, there's the quick transition of them having fun, jokey jokes to everyone's fucking dying. The entire time throughout the movie, you know, you're kept guessing. Opens up with Vietnam, and you're left, you know, it starts off on the plot third view assuming, oh, he's in Vietnam, you know, he's, you know, the Viet Cong or whatever attack, you know, they get, you know, he gets gored, And then, you know, oh, okay, now we fast forward and he's having Vietnam flashbacks here in New York City with his shitty, shitty girlfriend. Holy shit.
Yeah,
what an
yeah.
asshole character she was.
Yeah, well, her name's Jezebel for a reason.
Yeah, just like the Jezebel SJW media.
Oh, exactly. You know, this is Trump's America now, and we've got to take back the streets.
Yeah, take it back for these SJWs. They're the snowstorm growing. Me and you, Joe, we're just a couple of bulldozers.
Exactly.
Snowplows. Snowplows is what I was looking for.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a lone wolf with my pack of other lone wolves.
Exactly. And us lone wolves, we got to stick together.
Exactly.
Anyway, so, you know, the first plot, major kind of plot there that you're led to, you know, guess is, oh, he's having flashbacks in Vietnam. And, you know, he's running around, he's working for the post office, he's doing pretty well. You know, he's doing okay, and then, you know, so that lady that he met at the post office in the early scene, that was some completely unrelated girl, right? That wasn't Jezebel, or was it Jezebel?
The one he gives food to?
Yeah.
No, that's her, they both work at the same place.
Okay, because I couldn't tell, I thought at first, I'm like, oh, okay, he's just, like, straight up having an affair with this lady in his office.
No, it's the same one, she just kind of looks different if she puts on different clothes.
Yeah, yeah, I have that problem with a lot of people, if you're wearing, different clothes, or if you, like, style your hair differently, I'll never notice.
Exactly.
And that's why
I
like
always
you,
wear it. Yeah, I always wear my hoodie, my
yeah,
purple
hoodie.
Yeah,
you're always
hoodie.
Wearing, right now, you've got your slightly purplish blue hoodie.
Yep.
And you've got your little pink comb. And
he's
I don't know if you can hear it. He's combing his hair right now. Joe, that's too much. Joe, you better stop. Stop. Oh, his glasses fell off. But, you know, during this party, you see the first where it's like, well, shit, hold on a second. What? And that is like, he's at the party and he's starting to fucking like phase in and out. You know, there's lights flashing. People are going, you know. People are starting to, like... People are sucking and fucking, that's for sure. Hell yeah. That's when I got up in the movie, I started clapping.
Exactly, yeah, we were like, ooh, yeah, yeah, ooh, ooh, ooh.
But his girlfriend or wife, I think it was girlfriend. I don't think
they were
married.
Yeah, now they're just hooking up.
Yeah, she's, like, dancing with this other dude, and he's like... No, I'm sorry. The very first thing you see that kind of gives it away, yeah, that is the train. He's on the train and he's like, oh shit, I think I missed my, you know, bus. And do you remember the name of the book that he was reading?
No, I don't.
Cause I wanted to keep track of that book name because I had a feeling that it would be, you know, relevant, you know, really relevant to the situation and all that.
Yeah.
But you know, he's leaving the train and he sees like an old man with like a weird fucking like curved penis. And it just sloops back up.
Yeah.
And I had to, like, double things. I'm like, what?
No, it's not a dick, it's a tail.
That looked like an uncircumcised penis,
well,
Joe.
Well, yeah.
But, so that was, like, the first indication that, you know, he crosses the thing with the train, and he jumps away, and, like, as the train goes by, everyone's looking at him. There's, like, a dude looks like G-Man with a white mask over his head, like fucking Slender Man or some shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so in the party, you know, the dude that his girlfriend's dancing with turns into, like, a bat thing. And they did the classic of, okay, this doesn't look that good, so we're going to make it all slimy, dark, and constantly moving so you don't really get a good look at it.
Yeah, but it ends up working.
Yeah, because it's like, oh shit, you're unsure. It's fear of the unknown is the spookiest, ookiest, kookiest thing you can have.
Yep, like old Lovecraft, Junji Ito.
Yep. But then, you know, this thing's like dancing, and you see it like flash into like she's over there fucking away, you know, essentially as they're dancing, and then like... She gets, like the tail of the bat thing, like, goes through her and pops out her mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that's when, like, you know, he falls to the ground, he collapses, and then, you know, it cuts to the scene where they're at home, and he's having, like, a super bad fever. And then they get him into the ice tub, and he starts yelling. And then he wakes up, and he's in this, because it's mentioned briefly early on in this little section here that, you know, and very fucking bluntly by Jezebel, too. She's like, oh, you mean your kid who died from your previous marriage?
Yeah, no, she doesn't like his other kids or his other wife.
And I was thinking, like, holy shit, what an asshole.
Yeah, because she burned his old pictures, too.
Yep, she fucking threw them in the garbage and burned them to pieces.
Yeah.
But then it starts, that's when it starts a series of hopping in and out, in and out, in and out of these essentially two different lifetimes. Well, three, if you count Vietnam.
Yeah.
Hopping between these three different lifetimes that he's having. And you don't know what's real, what's fake. I had no fucking clue which one was real. Were any of them real?
Yeah.
I had nothing I could say concretely was true or not. Like, oh, was he seeing people doing the head thing where they're all shiggity-shaggling?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that was a neat effect, because basically they just filmed the guy shaking his head back and forth really fast, but keeping his, like, shoulders still at 4 frames per second, and they just sped it up, and it looks awesome.
Neat.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, because, basically he ends up, he just dies in Vietnam, and then everything, he just lives out his entire life for a couple years with, like, a whole nother chick, and his son dies, and all that, in, like, an instant, whenever he's just dying on the operating table.
Yep. And,
yeah, it's a lot like An Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge. Like, you know that book they make you read in high school, that short story where, like, the guy's gonna get hanged, and then, like, the thing accidentally snaps, and he, like, dives into the water, and he dodges bullets and cannon fire, and he gets back to his family, and then it was just an instant before, like, his neck snapped from the hanging.
I don't remember that at all. I never read that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, the first thing that kind of hit me off to, this seems like it's wrong. And I can't remember if this is the very... There was a lot of things that I was looking at that I'm like, this is very convenient to the story that this character is trying to build, which he believes in this life that he was part of the army and they were part of a secret experiment. And during this super secret experiment, you know, everyone in the platoon fucking murdered each other because of some crazy powerful rage drug.
Yeah. Old MK Ultra. It really happened.
Yeah, and I'd like... while I'm watching this, I'm like... Because there's a point where he meets one of the chemists from it. And, like, he's getting, like, shoved around by the government. Like these two agents pick him up and put him in a car, which he just, like, punches and kicks his way out of. Which was the first thing where I'm like,
Yeah, yeah. No, I actually kind of like that because, He didn't win by being stronger than them. He just kept kicking, and eventually he got out.
Yep. But, like, that's the first thing that made me go... I think the first thing that made me go, something seems wrong here. Like, this seems too convenient for him to be able to get away from two high-level government agents, or three, just by kicking and punching his way out until he flies out the door.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, they didn't even have any real plan. They're just like, hey, guy, cut it out. And then, you know, he meets the chemist, and the chemist is like... Oh, well, you were part of a special group. You were, you know, you. And, like, I'm thinking, as I'm listening to this, I'm like, this seems awfully convenient for the character. Like, this feels like something the character would make up to, like, if he was genuinely crazy. Like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was part of some government thing, and I'm special. And, you know, I was targeted by the U.S. government.
Exactly. They're group stalking us. They're targeting. Oh, every single time I try to go to the Wild West Billy Jeans at Walmart, they take my clothes off of me.
Yeah, but like that's what I was thinking the movie's gonna head was that this dude's full of shit and he died in Vietnam. He either died in Vietnam, and this is all him imagining it, or he's genuinely just fucked. And, like, because there's a lot of scenes with abandoned hospitals. And, Joe, you mentioned this movie was a direct inspiration for Silent Hill.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Team Silent loved this movie.
And there's... I have third-party knowledge of Silent Hill. I haven't played the games, but I've been exposed to it.
Yeah, I mean, all the original four games are mildly hard to find nowadays. The HD remaster of 2 and 3 were absolute garbage, so you shouldn't play them even if you find them. And 1, 2, 3, and 4 are kinda hard to come by now. I mean, nobody wants to give up their copies, so, mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta pay at least $30 if you want one.
But yeah, like, I could definitely tell there's the nurses' outfits, the hospital areas that he goes to. Because he goes to the hospital, like, four fucking times in this movie.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because he was, you know, in the end of the video, he was being air-vac'd to the fucking place. Of course, the hospital's gonna be on his mind.
Yeah.
There was a, you know, like, the hospital setting of it being super decayed, you know, the nurses' outfits... there was a doctor that injected him with a red and blackish syringe.
Yeah.
Then the doctor had, you know, his eyes were like sealed over and clear, you know, like a like the nurses in Silent Hill.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I mean like
because that was one of the parts that genuinely creeped me out was when he was going. I think it's because it just went from, oh, this seems like a very reasonable hospital. Okay, this is completely grounded. Oh, you know, this guy was knocked out of the car. Okay, let's get him in here.
Yeah, I'm right, taking well, him on the ground.
Yep, like, oh, well, he's knocked out. All right, let's go ahead and get him over here. And then they immediately, like, I mean, because it's degrees of unsettling. What's the word I'm looking for here?
Yeah, yeah, it's just kind of a, like, perception of something being off at first. It's just kind of like they're just outside for some reason.
Yeah, and then it compounds and compounds. Like, oh, yeah. He's outside. Well, are they moving him to a different wing? Oh, there's water on the... Oh, shit. Okay, I see. And then, you know, it goes from there to a decayed hospital to a mental ward. And then you see...
Just like a butcher's shop, basically.
Yeah, like you see, like, okay, maybe this is like a normal mental ward. You know, maybe he's still at that place he was at earlier. Oh, no, he's not. Okay, no, this is... Okay, so there's, like, a bunch of people everywhere. This is, like, a bad... Oh, no, okay, yeah, no, there's fucking body parts and blood everywhere. Yeah, no, this is all, like, fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-oh, we just stepped on an arm.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know if there was actual reason behind the head wiggle-waggle that showed up a lot in the movie. I don't know if it was just the director was like, man, this is a really fucking cool effect. I don't know if there was anything, any thought put into it except just... Hey, that's really fucking weird and unsettling. Let's put that in there.
Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, it's a real easy, cheap effect to do once you know how to do it.
I guess so.
Oh, I was going to say, though, like, all of the creature designs in this film, there used to be this, like, pregnancy drug back in the 60s. Do you know of this? Because you're getting into medicine, kind of. It's, like, thalmahide or something like that.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, so basically it was a pregnancy drug to stop morning sickness and put you to sleep. And then the pregnant woman took it for maybe like 4 years or so. And then just like all these horrific birth defects were caused by this drug, like elongation of limbs, like deformed faces, like all kinds of stuff.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, and like all the creatures in the film were directly modeled from the children that this drug like caused.
Oh, wow, then I could definitely see that in that scene there where he was being wheeled in and it was getting all fucked up, because you saw a ton of patients, you know, you saw...
Yeah, yeah.
There was, like, a girl just, like, curled up and motionless on the floor. There was
like a little dwarf guy.
Yeah, there was a dude that had, like, super, super short legs that was walking on his hands. You know, there's people with really fucked up, weird-looking faces. Like, I'm assuming that doctor with the eyes, like, closed off.
Yeah. No, that happened.
Yeah. But like I said, this movie was genuinely unsettling, but in an interesting way. I was never, like, clutching my seat, like, scared.
And, yeah.
It was a good scare, because, like you said, it less is more. It was more of a, I'm very, very interested in where this is going to go, and I'm, like, very nervous. Because every time it showed his, quote-unquote, like, I guess real family... When he had his, when it was him and his wife Sarah and their three kids, one of them was played by Macaulay Culkin. So there's
a little boy just not pinch his little cheeks.
Yep, pinch his little cheeks before he stops those wet bandits.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta pinch his little cheeks before he like shoves a bottle rocket up your ass.
Yeah, those wet bandits with their, you know, they've got like
sticky fingers.
Yeah, they got sticky fingers and their hair's all wet and they keep shaking but their shoulders don't move.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Why you little?
Yeah, and they start shickle shaking his.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he goes to touch, like, the door handle, and he's, Colin McCall can put an iron on the end of the other door handle, so he goes, it's hot!
That's good, yeah. That's good audio quality.
Thank you. Did you know that there's 5 Home Alone movies?
There's 5?
Yep.
How do they keep leaving this kid home alone?
No, he's too old now, he's much too old, they just get new kids.
That's okay. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you can't keep leaving the same kid home
alone.
No,
he's 35 now, you can't leave him home alone.
Yeah, like, at that point, like, are you even there? There's no one left to be home, it seems.
No.
Home Alone 5 times.
I'd like to see Home Alone 6 where Macaulay Culkin just barricade himself into his, like, house.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, where's the
fucking,
like...
Yeah, I just want to see, like, the Collection 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just, like, nailing a cat to, like, the door. It's like a booby trap.
Yeah, it's able to keep him out of there.
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah, I was, like, genuinely, like, I was, like, during every scene with his, you know, happy family, because I'm thinking, like, something like, I didn't expect, you know, I knew there wasn't going to be some big jump scare, like, oh, the kid's going to stab him with a knife, like some garbage.
Yeah, just, like Child's Play 3 would do or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't want, I knew there wasn't going to be some garbage like that, where it's just, ah, pop scare, gotcha, haha, gotcha, gotcha with that jump scare,
do, yeah,
do,
yeah.
Do, do, do. Like, during one scene where he went to go comfort his son as he was going to bed, like, I was pretty fucking sure I saw something in that mirror.
Yeah.
And so I was, like, paying very, very close attention to this mirror that they kept hidden. And same with when he got stabbed at the bayonet. I don't think they ever showed his stomach. They never showed, like, where that scar would be.
No.
I don't believe... They may have showed it in one scene.
Yeah, maybe, but
I
didn't see it.
And then I just missed it. Because after about halfway through the movie, I stopped really looking for that because there's so much else going on through the movie. Because I was keeping an eye out for, like, all these connections, trying to figure out what the hell is going on in this movie. Is there any of this, is there any solid foundation? Is there a specific rule set for what's going on? What are the common connections between these scenes of his life? And I was trying to figure out what went on. And at the end of the movie, like, I mean, there's some big text at the end of the movie that says, like, hey, this is a thing that happened where we tested drugs on him. And, like,
yeah.
I don't even know if that's still true or not. I don't know if that's true with this guy's case. There's no real proof to say that he wasn't just stabbed in the gut by an enemy soldier and died in the infirmary. Like, it's, you know, there's still no...
Yeah, no, it's left open-ended.
Yeah, there's still no real solid conclusion. And I was, like, waiting. I'm like, okay, what's the twist going to be at the ending here that's not going to be lame and not well done? Or, like, that's allegedly super, super crazy. Never see it coming.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
Good at the same time. I'm sitting there, I'm like, so he's either going to be dead, or he's going to be in, like, an insane pit, or, like, because the end of the movie is, like, he ascends the stairs, and, you know, there's the yellow light, he's going to heaven. You know, you had that, what was the chiropractor's name that looked like an angel?
Like, Lewis or Louis or something, yeah.
Yeah, Lewis Black. Lewis Black was telling, like, it had his quote there, he was like, hey, you know, when you stop trying to hang on to life and you let these demons that you call them, you know, take you down.
Maybe they're angels.
Then they become angels.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I gave him that voice. That just sounds like the voice someone named Lewis Black would have. But, you know, that was the final scene, was him and his fake son, Gabe, climbing up the stairs. Then it goes yellow. And then, you know, I'm like, okay, well, here's the ending. Is he going to be in, like, a drug den? Is he just going to be dead from some earlier point in the movie? And then, yeah, he was just dead in Vietnam the entire time. Or maybe he wasn't. I mean, there's...
No,
you know,
I mean, he
I mean, that's pretty solid, though. Like, that's the most solid foundation. It's the intro and the outro to the movie.
Yeah.
You know, if I could, you know, nail anything down as real, it would probably be that. What happened in the interim, what killed him, I don't know. Still not solid, but I really like this movie.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy it.
I enjoyed the visual effects a lot. They were all very practical, very interesting. They're, you know, they were pretty cool.
Yeah. It was a shot with 100% practical effects.
Which is all the time. Even, like, the fact that I can look at this and be like, well, these effects looked very, very good. And then compare it to something like, I watched Spider-Man Homecoming, which was a pretty good movie. But, like, in Spider-Man Homecoming, I could tell when stuff was, like, bad CG.
Yeah, it's like a little bug flying around, like, hitting people or whatever.
Yeah, like, I could tell sometimes when Spider-Man landed somewhere, he was CG for, like, a half second.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, ugh.
Yeah, it's hard to shoot people jumping.
Yeah, like, it's... Practical effects will always win out over a long time until we get to the point where, like... I don't even know if we'll ever get... We'll probably get to the point where we won't be able to really tell the difference unless you're really, really looking at it.
It's going to depend. I mean, I think you will pretty much always be able to see it if you try to CGI a human face, just because we're basically built to, like, not trust things that don't look exactly like human.
Yep.
But I mean, like, the dinos in Jurassic Park, the first one, where there's CGI, I like those.
Yeah.
And, like, the bugs in Starship Troopers, those all look pretty good whenever they're CGI. So if you do something really alien, normally it doesn't look too bad as
because
long as
it's
you pump
supposed
enough
to
money
look
into
weird.
It. Yeah.
Or, like with Toy Story, where they couldn't get humans to not look shiny. So, like, oh,
well, yeah.
Let's just make a plastic.
But if you look back on Toy Story nowadays, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, except for the lighting, but that's because it was manual lighting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with Toy Story 2, they accidentally deleted, like, the whole movie.
Yep, and I know that. I know that story. I thought it was Toy Story 1.
No, it was 2.
Yeah, they
were rushing the sequel, and then the hard drive just shit on them. And then, like, a worker basically just had a backup that they were working at their house that they weren't even supposed to have, and they had to remake whatever they could off of it.
Yep. And then they managed to do it.
Yep. At least it wasn't a food fight.
That's true. I've seen food fight the most. I've seen Food Fight and The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, about, I think I've seen them the same amount of times.
Yeah.
Which, I'm a pretty awful moviegoer. But anyway, I really like this movie. It was good. If I would say I liked Brazil a little bit more, and that's just because Brazil had so much weird stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's nothing
on.
They do like that today.
Like there was a lot going on in Brazil. So this was definitely a very, very good movie, and I would recommend. I give it the old Tad Becker thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah. I give it the Roger Ebert 2 thumbs up.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no. I just want to say, though, I'm pretty sure this is one of the, like, first movies to do, like, the He Was Dead the Whole Time ending, like, 1990.
Well, one of the, like, I'm sure there's, like, movies
in the
40s
before.
And
yeah.
But
yeah, this is one of the first big ones to do it.
Yeah, because as I'm watching these movies, I'm always keeping in mind, any of these tropes that I see,
they probably started the trope.
They
too.
Either started it or it was very early on. Similar when I was watching the Warcraft movie, I'm like, this is the most generic fantasy bullshit I've ever seen. And then I remembered Warcraft was written in like 1993.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like still
same year as Wizards.
Yeah, it's like yeah. So we'll go ahead and round this one up. I don't know what movie we'll do next. It's always a surprise. I never know which
one. It's always a surprise to him. It's never a surprise to me.
See, and because George Romero recently passed, I expected this movie to be, you know, Dawn of the Dead?
No, originally we were going to do Return of the Living Dead for this one. That's not a George Romero movie. It is a kind of satire of them. It's really good. I like it. But yeah, I decided not to do one of the zombie movies this time.
Maybe next time, yeah, or maybe you'll surprise it on me.
At some point.
Something like that. But, yeah. So that'll do it for Best Boys. And just as a recap here, you can find me, Tad. I'm the one with the blue sweater. The blue sweatshirt. And the little silly little cartoon draw on there.
Yeah.
The logo's gonna have the Let Me Tell You About logo, probably. The person sitting across from me is definitely not Alex. It is Joe.
No, I'm not skinny. I'm big fat. I'm a big fat boy.
He's a big boy.
Yeah,
but.
If you imagine like a 400-pound man, get him even bigger. And then that's me.
And then cut the weight in half, and then that's you.
Yeah.
But, Joe, I host Let Me Tell You About, which is my baby podcast, the one that I kind of branch all this other silly stuff off of. I have Joe on every now and then. We did an episode about Chris Chan, one about...
whenever I'm allowed in the house.
Yeah, we did one about serial killers and indie games. We did one about him and I working on a movie, mostly him. I was in the movie for a total of about 4 seconds as I got murdered.
Yeah, it was a fun movie.
That movie was...
Go see it, Butcher the Bakers.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'd say it's Evil Dead 2 meets Bill and Ted.
Yeah. But, okay, for the third time now, then, we'll go ahead and we'll end this episode. And then, I don't really have a set schedule for these. It's mostly just like, hey, Joe,
are you
free? Yeah,
whenever we could do them.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, Joe, are you free right now?
I'm always free.
Yeah, because you don't have a fucking job.
Nope. I let me tell you, I mean, I basically got, my only job is being a stay-at-home son, and I support that very well.
All right, and you keep doing you, Joe.
Exactly.
You fuck, man.
Yeah, exactly. I buy and sell Magic the Gathering cards. Ooh.